Raising a Gentleman into who it is about?
Definitely. Yeah.
Because that's your title. That's your thing you're doing now. Mm-hmm. Raising a Gentleman in the Hood.
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose, or does it need a purpose? Maybe it doesn't even need a purpose. What's raising a gentleman in the hood about?
Raising a gentleman in the hood. Like I said, my parents are Mexican. I come from Southern California, and not just Southern California. I come from the most southern western tip of Southern California, which is the Imperial Beach, San Ysidro area. I would say, I don't know the geographics here, but I would say it's about 80% Mexican people. So you're seeing, unfortunately, you're seeing the 16-year-old pregnant girl. This last time I was in San Diego a couple of years ago, and I was at the bus stop, and next to me, a young girl sat next to me, 14, 15, I don't remember exactly, 16 is already too old, and she had a child with her, and the child was not a newborn, it was like a 1 year, she must have had this child when she was 14. And so you're having this influx, I don't know how long it's been going on, maybe since the 70s, I don't know, where you have you have children being raised by either a mother or the grandparents. Dad, who knows, in jail, just doesn't want to fulfill his responsibilities, whatever. And so at the age of 35, I still find myself asking questions and needing guidance. And so it's like, for example, a man I met here in Germany, younger than me, his parents were just never around. He would come home from school, parents just weren't there. They weren't abusive, they weren't aggressive, they weren't mean to him, they just were never there. Was there food in the house? Was there no food in the house? Did he do his homework? His parents were just never there. What do we expect from him? What could we expect from this boy, this man? What responsibilities could he fulfill? How could he know this is how you treat a woman? How can he know this is how you get along with society, in society? This is how you get along. This is how you go for a job interview. This is how you shake hands. This is how you shave. This is how you open the door for a woman. This is how you serve people. This is how you ask, this is how you say sorry. This is how you say, I don't know. This is how you ask for help. What expectations do we have for this boy, for this man? And how could we blame him when he doesn't know how to get along in society?
Hmm.
And one of the things my dad would always tell me, and my dad was a very strict, he's still a very strict man. And one of the things that he would tell me, he goes, I'm telling you and I'm doing these things for you so that you, in Spanish one says, el día de mañana, so that the day of tomorrow, literally is a translation, but meaning for in the future, you don't have the excuse to say, nobody told me.
Mm-hmm.
So with this book, these excuses are gone. If you, as a young man at 14, 15, 16 years old, read this book from beginning to end, you don't have these excuses anymore. You can't say, nobody told me that. Oh, I didn't know. A lot of times we're, and this is a sad thing, Martin, we're constantly reducing ourselves, our potential of who we are, in order to not get picked on, in order to not have to fulfill more responsibilities. Like some people would literally chop off their leg just so that they wouldn't have to fulfill a certain responsibility. Some people would rather play stupid before getting ahead in life and having to put up with more responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just kind of want to be the 9-to-5 person and do nothing else. The problem with that is that you're selling yourself very short of your true potential. There is going to be responsibility. There's going to be discipline. There's going to be effort that you're going to have to put into it. But the rewards are also going to be there. And this is what the youth has to know. Is like you're going to have to give it hard work, but the rewards are going to be exact equivalent to the effort that you put in. Get excited. So when you see the word effort, you say, behind effort, there's definitely rewards. We're not doing that. And so this is raising a gentleman in the hood. Give it some effort. Give it some discipline. And so I'm going to be giving tips. So for example, I know this another young man, early 20s. When he turned 20, I bought him, and it's no insult, I bought him a shaving cream and aftershave. And I told him, check this out. When you shave, do it like this. and then do it like this. And then when you're done, make sure you rinse your whole face, give yourself another check that you didn't miss any hairs. And then, very important, aftershave. Because if you don't put on aftershave, you're going to get, your skin is going to get irritated. He goes, ah, that's why my skin gets irritated. Because I'm not, this is a 20-year-old boy who doesn't know about aftershave. How could he, if nobody's there telling him? He doesn't have a father, his dad's not around. How could he know these things if there's nobody telling him? It's like, for example, we persecute, or we, and to a certain extent, rightfully so, we're persecuting, so let's say terrorists. 50-year-old terrorist who's going off, blowing up, to a certain, this is horrible. This is, of course, there's no excuse for this. I'm not justifying this at all. Who is there telling these terrorists, like, guys, have you guys thought about love? They're influenced by the first thing that comes to their mind. They're influenced by the first person that comes and brings something to, and they just grow with it.
I think the sad thing kind of is, I don't want to interrupt you, but it's that the only form of love they mostly find, and that's why they're so effective, these terrorist groups, is because for a lot of young men, that's the first kind of group of friends and in a certain way love they actually find. They come from horrible backgrounds and families and whatever. I think that's a sad thing about it, is that the first form of somehow belonging and love is when they enter this terrorist cell or this terrorist group, which is horrible, of course. And that's where you wanna be a few steps ahead of whatever. We're not talking about terrorists. We're talking about just generally young men, especially.
I come from the land of gangs. Mm. Southern California, Los Angeles, you got the gangs everywhere.
Yeah.
This is the same form of that.
Yeah.
The gang for a gang member is his familia.
Yeah, yeah. And they die for it.
And this is their family.
Yeah.
Just the avenue, the energy in which they have identified or related to this lack of love or need of love, unfortunately came through a gang.
Yeah.
Or a terrorist group. Yeah. And so this is the raising a gentleman in the hood. Just asking some questions, think about it. And like I said, with these tips, doing certain things like that, like how do you put on cologne? How do you change a tire? How do you check the oil on your car? Just little things, bro.
It's beautiful. In all its simplicity, maybe it's even more beautiful, because it's those things I, for instance, never or not often have given stuff like that thought. I had a very hands-on, my father wasn't there a lot when we were younger because he was working, but he was very hands-on with stuff like that. I still remember when I was barely five, and I had a flat tire, and my dad's always been the type, like, you come in and say, I have a flat tire, and he said, well, go fix it. And I used to hate him for it. And then he used to say, I'm going to show you one time, but one time only. It was hard, but it was the way he was. And he said, I'm going to show you one time, and from then on, you know, and you can do it. And but in some way, of course, those are super valuable lessons, just fixing your tire of your bike or knowing how to, you know. Something we don't really pay attention to too much, I think. How valuable it actually is to have a father, a person. There's this, what is it, Homeboy Industries? No. Mm-hmm. Is it Homeboy? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Father Doyle, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. This, which kind of is, it has that kind of same, for me, it's this thing. He's like a father to everyone who's there. Mm-hmm. And it's like finding a place where you find family and love and people. It started as a bakery, and people just learn how to bake because mm-hmm. they learn something. They learn a skill, mm-hmm. which gives them self-esteem. They learn something that they might have never learned because no one ever wanted to, you know, teach them anything because they're gangsters and they're criminals and whatever. But there's a lot behind it. And It sounds beautiful. A very simple, loving book somehow. That's dope. I got two more definite questions, okay, and then we'll see what we have.
All right.
What's your biggest fear?
Oh.
Right into it.
Mm-hmm. My biggest fear. Regret. But I want to think of something a little more exciting, bro. My own power.
To love and to destroy? We talked about that often, huh?
Yeah. My own strength, my own power, I'm afraid of it. And I don't ever want to misuse it. You know, and through negative thoughts, I've asked myself, could I hurt somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Could I really at this moment flip out and start kicking the shit out of this old lady? Like, could I, like, what, why does that happen to some people and doesn't, like, what's that system? I remember when Robin Williams passed away, I asked myself, bro, and I'm not, and I'm being completely open and honest. I don't have suicidal thoughts. That's not my thing. But I did ask myself, could I ever do that? Like, what does it take for somebody to say, I'm finished?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like if you're standing at the edge of a cliff, you kind of put your foot and you kind of test out there, like, okay, whoa, whoa. And so these little fears, it could be scary. Yeah.
Are you afraid, let's say, I foresee that this, what you're doing and who you are and all this stuff will grow and grow and grow. I actually foresee that you might be pretty influential in sometime in the near future. Are you afraid that when that point might come, you'll be more endangered to misuse power or to does that count too?
Power in which way? Like what?
Well, I mean, like you say, that your biggest fear might be you and the power you have. And I sometimes have this fear, like, okay, I'm doing stuff. I'm putting stuff out there. There's people listening to me. I'm getting invited to speak. What if this blows up even bigger? Am I sane? Am I strong? Am I human enough to not misuse that power at a certain moment where I might feel, I don't know, it's the same thing. It's also like this touching your toe, because I do think about, oh, what if I can reach 100,000 people? What if I say something very, I don't know, dangerous? Like those kind of thoughts play in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a power thing. I think especially as men, the way our culture works and society works, I'm a tad afraid of growing into a position where I might misuse that power.
There's a really cool story, dude. Marcus Aurelius.
Mm-hmm. Stoics.
I might be messing up the story here, but he hired somebody to walk with him through the city town with only one task. That when people would come and praise him, that this man would whisper in his ear, "You are just a man. You are just a man. You are just a man." Without humility, I wrote this a little quick inspired quote. I posted this on Facebook some time ago. Lord, without humility, give me no success. The last thing we need on this earth, Martin, is another arrogant prick.
Yeah.
A successful, that's the last thing. I don't need to add to that. I'm being completely honest. Would I want to be seen driving a fast Ferrari, wearing a nice suit, and having everybody look at me? Sure. But ultimately, through checking that out, and that doesn't make me any better. This is ridiculous. The want, I'm being completely honest with the want. I'm being completely honest with the attention. We want the spotlight. We want to be noticed, or at least me. I'm not going to lie. But I know that it won't bring me anything. As far as the fear of power, if me becoming some type of an influential person, it ultimately comes down to, or at least this is what's coming to my mind right now, it ultimately comes down to my alone time with me and the humility that I find myself in this alone time. Like, I am just a man. Like, I'm going to make my mistakes. You look at a person that, look at a person like Anthony Robbins. Anthony Robbins is probably the most impressive human being on the face of this earth as far as his mind, his ability to express, to change people's lives, to really know what you're feeling before you even express it because of his study, because of his intense study and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
A few months ago, he got a lot of crap for his way of expressing himself on stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna happen. I'm really actually very thankful that to this very moment, I've got nothing but good feedback with what I've said. Of course, there are some people that are like, Pedro, one, you speak too fast, because a lot of people are in German. And the second thing, yeah, but you know what? And so there's this discussion, dialogue going on between me and a person who maybe doesn't agree with me 100%, but that I'm being scrutinized or that I'm being criticized or ridiculed for my way of expressing myself. I've gotten 99.9% great feedback.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when I reach 1,000 people or 500 or 10,000, whatever, and then people begin to criticize? I once again go back to, what is most important for me with the door closed, with the lights off? Who am I apart from all of this?
Yeah.
Humility. Believing in my reason for, like, I believe in what I'm saying here. If I didn't, then what am I doing here? And I think these are my guiding forces, bro. Like, this is going to keep me grounded, but it's going to keep me with vision. Like, this, one of the things that I don't want to sidetrack here. One of the things I'm really, really in awe about in the last couple of months is I'm seeing this whole yin-yang balance thing everywhere.
Yep.
Like, it is everywhere. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's just like dark, light. This is, everything is so necessary. So you have to have the balance of having your feet well planted on the ground, but with your vision up at the stars, bro. Like, this balance is so crucial, dude. Yeah. And so I believe that's what it is, humility and believing in my purpose, because my purpose, my reason, my goals, my ambition, the end, you can't see it from here. Like, it goes around the earth 10,000 times. It's there's no limit to it. But the other extreme is keeping me grounded here. I find that nice.
That is beautiful. And it's very true. It's something I have noticed very, very... what's bewusst again? Very consciously over the last months as well. Every high has its down. And it's the beauty is in there. The mm-hmm. beauty is in having this high and falling, really falling flat-faced somewhere and being like, ah, dang, of course, because I was there. And because this then again happens, someone will call in a week and say, hey, by the way, you remember this and this and that? We got this. We're doing this. Or it's even smaller stuff. It's someone saying, hey, by the way, I thought about you. You know, someone bringing you whatever. I got a lot of friends that just give me stuff at times, whether it's like a book or something for sport or whatever, just out of nowhere. We have this kind of, there's like a big group of people. Just like, hey, by the way, this, or hey, I read this, check it out. It's good. And this, and it's yin and yang somehow everywhere. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to change? I don't really have to ask anymore, because I think it's pretty clear what you would like to change if you would, with the snap of a finger, change something in this world. I think, I think it's too much on one side. I think with the stuff you speak about, raising a gentleman, everything, Or is there something very particular, if I would ask you now, what would you like to change if you could, with one snap of a finger, change something in this world?
People's insecurity. We are in touch with this emotion. We are in touch with this emotion of insecurity.
Too much.
We're constantly reacting to our own insecurities. And so we have to put our chest out and be bigger than and stronger, because my insecurity is asking me to do that. It's my fear. If somebody comes in here with a knife, some brutal serial killer, and if I was a child, my fear, I would react to my fear by hiding, by running into the closet or protecting myself in some way. That's my reaction to this fear. My reaction to my insecurity is bringing other people down.
Wow.
Being better than other people, being faster, being more seen, being more loud, being more successful, being more rich, being thinner, being, the list goes on and on and on. And so here we have a bunch of people walking around reacting to their insecurities. And I would be really interested in seeing what would happen if we lived in this world without racism is an insecurity. Wars are an insecurity. You're not sure about something. You don't feel secure in something. Your country doesn't feel secure in their finances, so they start a war or they invade. Your group is insecure, therefore they have to get more people and they have to be bigger than the competition. We're just insecure of who we are as people. And then we go back to this suppression of who we are as people. It's one thing for me to suppress my own thoughts, for me to suppress my own inner child. It's another completely a different thing that through my own insecurity, I make you insecure about your own, and I suppress it, and I give you my opinion about how stupid you look wearing that shirt, or about how much you've gained weight. I think you look great in that shirt, by the way.
I was just like, what shirt am I actually wearing?
Get what I'm saying?
Definitely, yeah.
And it's my insecurity.
Yeah.
It's really, you know what, bro? And I have to throw this out there, dude. Jesus Christ says something so simple, dude, so simple. And somehow throughout the years, we've complicated it. We've made it so complicated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Simple, period. If I don't want it done to you, if I don't want it done to me, I'm not going to do it to you. And that means, and that includes my opinion about how you're living your life. If I don't want it done to me, I'm not going to do it to you. Like, if I don't want to be bothered with people, then I'm not going to give my opinion neither. If I don't want you speak, if I don't want my child being spoken to like that or treated that way, or my wife being treated that, why would I go off and do that to somebody else? If I don't want my mom being treated badly, why would I do that to somebody else?
Yeah.
It's this insecurity. And I don't judge humanity for it. I really don't. And I don't think we should judge humanity for this. We're just misguided and misled to think through such a natural human feeling of insecurity. The insecurity is not the problem. The reaction to the insecurity is the cancer. That is the we need to get on that right away. I'm going to feel insecure. That's okay. How I react to my insecurities is like, let's focus on that. Like big time, like red alert, red flag. Like that's where the problem is. That's what I would change. But I'm giving some really long answers here, dude.
It's beautiful. This is, I mean, as long as they make sense and they're beautiful answers, you can be as long as you want to be. I like the insecurity is, you know, the mechanism you just displayed, like insecurity, the mechanism of it is putting other people down. And that is, I think I just,
or I being had this, loud, or being, I'm sorry, or being just loud.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Being seen like, hello, I'm over here. No,
but big, somehow you're even with that still putting other people down, because you're not allowing them space or You know, maybe even if it's not intentional, it's and it's beautiful. I wrote this thing. I read this article. I have this. I don't know if you have it too, because it's what I know Marcus Aurelius from. I have this Stoic. I get an email like every day or every other day. Okay. Stoic wisdom, whatever. And it's a small story, but it's beautiful. There's always a little truth in it. I try to read it in the morning and have some extra information. Mm-hmm. And I think yesterday or the day before, one of the emails was, assume everyone's lying. And with a small story to it and thing. And then they said, like, just as you, when someone asks you, how is this or that going? You might make it, you might round up the numbers a little bit, or you might make it a little bit more beautiful. Or I try to do it as less as possible in my life. And of course it happens. It's insecurity. And they say, just as you do that, assume everyone else is. Just start with that, because it makes stuff easier. If someone says, like, yeah, and this 10 grand we're doing here, and just in your mind, not as a like envy or whatever, you can say, yeah, 10, 8, 8 grand. Okay, that's all right. Just make things a little less. And then I came to this whole turning things around in general. There was a few friends of mine got an invite for a party. And I felt inside shortly like, damn, I didn't get an invite. I think I didn't check yet, but I thought. And then already it's funny, because there's like this independence to these emotions. I kind of went like, that's shitty if everyone's invited and I'm not. And then I thought, and it's kind of blurry, but it was such an essential thing for me. This always, it's yin and yang turning around. I thought, well, would I invite this guy if I had my birthday, first of all? Let's take a step back, Martin, and even pinning myself down on it, because I was like, I never invited him to my birthday, so why would he invite me? And when I got home, the invitation was there. It was wasted time thinking about that. But this turning stuff around, and I somehow get to this because I think it's such an interesting mechanism. If you're insecure, insecurity does somehow not fit with being louder. But it is this yin yang of it. Like, if you're insecure, you scream louder, or you get other people, you know, try to bring them down, or you buy a big car, and it's just so funny, because if we could somehow learn these mechanisms to have a positive and negative and yin and yang, and also think about it, like, okay, well, I'm feeling insecure. Would it be the best thing to buy a Ferrari then now, or would it maybe be better to work with this and buy a Ford, whatever? And but try to work on my confidence with that somehow. Mm-hmm. I know this football player, Neven Subotic, I think is his name. He played for Frankfurt and whatever. And he always takes time off training to build schools and water things in Africa. Mm-hmm. Always has problems with the clubs he's playing for. And he drives an old Ford Ka, I think. And there's a long interview about him. We don't have to speak about that now. But he... And he's being asked particularly about that, like, how is it when you arrive at the club and whatever? And he's like, why would I care, first of all, what they say about it? Second of all, that is something I want to learn. I want to arrive there, have everyone laugh at me, and then have to think about my cause once more and think, yes, oh, damn, I'm doing really well because I have a cause. And they're all laughing at me because they don't have a cause. They only have football and their Ferraris. And I have football, all of my causes, how I want to make this world a better place, and a car that drives me from A to B. And that's, you know, he says, I get this mirror every day of my teammates laughing at me with my stupid car to check myself, like, am I still on my cause? Mm-hmm. Am I still?
Mm-hmm. There we go, dude.
This is a long thing. This is a long...
Man. Yeah.
But I think it's beautiful. That's pretty good. I'm thinking if I have anything more that I want to throw in, think about. Come again.
I believe in humanity. There's some quakes, some aches, some stutters, some tripping of the foot going on. But I believe that we're gonna get it together. And my belief in humanity is represented by my support for humanity. And I want to just put it out there that I'm here to serve. I'm here as a servant, not as a slave, a servant. And through the words of a servant that's here to really support, to uplift people, I say, keep going. That don't let your difficulties or your challenges allow you to forget who you are. Keep moving forward, knowing that you are able and that you are capable to withstand this and much, 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 much more still. This is nothing. Like, it's really the equivalent to saying, give me 20 push-ups. And you're only giving 2, and you're saying, that's all I got. No, bro, you got way more. It doesn't mean you have to wear yourself down. It doesn't mean you have to burn yourself out. It means that you have to be more... It means you have to choose wisely where you put your energy, that this is your responsibility. Like, you can put up with a lot more, but you have to choose wisely where you put your energy, because you're gonna need it. Bro, I've come across so many people, so many, it's no exaggeration, Martin, so many young people who are tired. They're tired. You're young, you're tired. How is it going to be when you're 60, when you're 70? I'm not ridiculing anybody. I'm not looking down on anybody. You're tired now. You're tired. Bro, you got a long way to go. What has to change? But let's talk about that. No worry. And I think I'll end it with this. We're all on a hike. We're on a very, very long hike. We're going to go up a really high mountain, every single one of us, whether we want to or not. You got a backpack? I got a backpack, he has a backpack, she has a backpack. Don't put any stones in it, it's not necessary. Don't put any worry, it's not necessary. You don't need it, trust me, you don't need worry. Focus, wants, desires, goals, plans, blah, 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 blah. Put all that in there, bro. Put a bottle of water in there. Put the right fruit in there. Worry, you don't need it. Leave that here. Don't fill your backpack with heavy stones. You don't need it. And it's only going to bring you down. Stress, don't take it with you. Worry, don't take it with you. Trying to figure out the past, don't take it with you. Trying to plan the future and figure out the future before it comes here and taking you out of the present moment, you don't need that in your backpack. Don't put that in there. It's going to tire you out. Make your life lighter. Light. That's my message, bro.
It's beautiful. It's very beautiful. Thanks a bunch. Thanks a million.
Mario, I'm so thankful for you, bro. I really am, man. Thank you. I think this is awesome what you're doing here, dude. Beautiful, dude. Awesome. Great experience.
Thank you, bro.
There we go, man.
Thank you.